in the middle of the night. If you're on the East Coast Central Time Zone, yeah, it's getting late before it's getting early. If you're on the West Coast with us, or if you're in Alaska and Hawaii, well, this is right in your wheelhouse as a night owl. We're glad to have you as we morph from a Sunday, June 2nd, into a Monday, June 3rd, first full week of June. Is kind of crazy to me, but yeah, we've got almost the entire week to wait before we tip off the NBA Finals on Thursday, which is also the Hub's birthday. I got a lot of cooking and cleaning and even a pie to make. That's still on the docket between now and Thursday, so I'm grateful. Thank you, NBA and NHL, for clearing the deck for me a little bit so I can focus on household and domestic responsibilities to make sure the Hubs has a great birthday. See, I can't tell you what surprise I have for him because he listens to the show. And there is no way. I've managed to keep this surprise for a couple of months now. So I cannot, not even a peep. I cannot give even a hint because I'm nervous that he'll figure it out. And I keep telling producer Jay, oh my gosh, what if I accidentally let it slip? But Jay said to me, just a couple days left, you're in the home stretch. You can do this. So yeah, it's a go big or go home, baby. And so I'm working on a pretty big surprise. I got a few more details that I have to put in place. And then, yeah, I'm taking Wednesday night off. So it's the last night off to take before the NBA Finals and, of course, the Stanley Cup Finals starting Saturday before they get underway. Wanted to just take this one night off to make sure that he has a good birthday and that I can orchestrate the surprise. I'm trying to be very careful about the verbs that I use. I cannot wait to tell you what it is, though. When we're back together on Thursday night into Friday morning, I promise you that I'll finally tell you the surprise. And maybe if I'm smart enough or I'm on point, I can get a video of him seeing the surprise or reacting to the surprise. That's all I can say. Don't ask me any more questions. I know, Jay. Jay's like, zip it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're glad to launch into a new work week with you. Yes, we are on the verge of crowning a pair of champions in both hoops and hockey. It's about time, considering these are winter sports. So you can find me on Twix at A-Law Radio and then also on our Facebook page. And the reason I bring that up in this particular moment is because I stumbled upon a couple of numbers that piqued my attention. I thought you might appreciate these. I'm a bit of a TV geek. I think I've mentioned this in the past. I'm big into TV spoilers, especially for the shows that I watch. And I mostly watch crime dramas. And actually, it's become fewer and fewer shows since I got married, just because we watch shows together now. So I have fewer of my own shows. My DVR is pretty stacked all the time. But we enjoy watching Survivor. He's big into some of the Star Wars series now, so it's been enjoyable to watch through those with him. But I still have my own crime dramas on my DVR. Things like Chicago PD, oh gosh, the FBI series. I like FBI International and the real one, or the first one, I should say. I like NCIS still. So some of those I'm big into. Oh, and I'm trying to think what else that I really love. Oh, I love Blue Bloods. So I'm really sad that that show is ending in 2024. But I digress. I'm a TV junkie for not just the fact that it's my business in many cases with sports and watching ratings and viewership trends, but also because, like I said, I have a bunch of dramas that I follow and I love to see spoilers and try to figure out what's going to happen. Anyway, I was looking through some of the broadcast numbers. So they come up with their official rankings / summaries of the TV broadcast season that starts in fall of 2023 and ends in spring of 2024. A little bit like the school year. So it kind of follows that. And as I was looking at the rankings, I realized top two most watched TV shows of this last broadcast season, football, of course. Are you ready for this? And I did tweet this at A-Law Radio, but also put it up on Facebook, and I'd love to get your reaction. Sunday Night Football. So Sunday Night Football on NBC the most watched TV show of the last broadcast season, which ended in June of 24. Well, actually ended in May of 24. It averaged just shy of 20 million viewers per week. That's an enormous audience for a regular season game. But that's the case. And are you ready for this? Sunday Night Football's ratings were up 9% from the previous year. So tell me again how the NFL is dying. Tell me again how the NFL has maxed out its audience. No, that is not the case. When almost every other show on TV is either barely maintaining ratings or is slipping backward, with one big exception being some of the new shows that come in. So Tracker, the new Justin Hartley show that's on CBS, it launched right after the Super Bowl. It's been a massive hit. We've already binged that whole thing. We loved it. We even watched it some in Hawaii. So that's one show that's got major, major push. And then still, the FBIs, the NCISs, that kind of stuff. Notice the common trend is CBS for a lot of these drama shows. But it was Sunday Night Football on NBC, the most watched TV show of the last broadcast season, up 9% from the previous year to 19.8 million viewers per week. And that does include the playbacks. Now, with sports, you have fewer playback numbers because most people prefer to watch it live. But you do have some people that will catch it. Maybe they're working. They don't see the end because they're sleeping. Whatever it happens to be. There are some viewers that will watch it on playback. So DVR or what's the other one called? It's not DVR. There's another one that the technology... Oh, gosh. I forgot the name of it. But
TiVo?
Yeah. Is it TiVo?
That's going
is that
back
still a
now.
Thing?
I don't
yeah.
know.
Anyway, so whatever it is you use to watch playback, maybe it's just you go to a streaming service and watch it after the fact. 19.8 million viewers. Second most watched TV show last broadcast season, Monday Night Football on ABC. 11.7 million weekly viewers. Now, remember, Monday Night Football has made this transition from ESPN to ABC. Same company, same producers, but they air it on ABC, which is a network that's more accessible to a lot of people around the country because it's over the air. You can get it with an antenna. So yes, the top two shows last year, Sunday Night Football and Monday Night Football. And I use the hashtag on Twix, cash cow. Uh-huh. It is a cash cow. It's the league that every other league wants to be when it grows up. So I put that up on both Twix and Facebook. I'd love to see your reaction to it. Football is very healthy and it's not going away anytime soon, maybe much to your chagrin. Now, if you break it down, I don't know if this is ageist or not, but if you break it down to demos, the most attractive demo to any type of TV program, and this is because of advertisers, the more viewers you have in the target demo, the target demographic, which is 18 to 49, mostly because that's where a lot of the money is spent, right? By that age group, 18 to 49. In that target demo, that coveted target demographic, Sunday Night Football was up 6% from the year before. So you know how often people will point to the average age of baseball, for instance. It's getting up there now. And baseball is desperate to attract more and more younger viewers. Why? Well, because if you fall in love with baseball when you're 17, 18, 19, Jay fell in love with baseball when he was a lot younger, loves it, still watches it. If baseball, hockey, the NBA, some of these leagues can get viewers and fans at the ground level, then if you really fall in love with a sport at that age, you're more likely to watch it all the way through. If they can hook you at that age, well, then they can count on you to be part of the fan base as you get older. But one of the challenges for baseball and for the NBA, now they have a bunch of young viewers. The young viewers just don't watch TV, which is kind of a different problem, is that a lot of the baseball fan base is getting older. Football too, but among the four major pro sports, football has the youngest TV viewers, if that makes sense. So their average age, and it doesn't mean there's only young TV viewers, but just the average age of the football TV viewer is younger than the other sports, which means potentially that people will sign up for new streaming services because a lot of younger people are cutting cable or they never had cable in the first place and they bundle with a bunch of different streaming services. So yeah, the NFL is looking at these trends and looking at the fact that Sunday Night Football dominated in the 18 to 49 year old demographic. So yeah, those are the people that will spend money on streaming. So you're more likely to get people to purchase a new streaming service with the NFL than you are with any other sport. Now, here's something interesting. NBA Saturday primetime. So that was an ABC product. It's Saturday night. It takes over when football is done. That was also one of the top shows in the 18 to 49 demo. So put it on Saturday night, make it prime time, kind of appointment TV viewing, and you're likely to get more younger viewers. Though still, the NBA has a major issue because a lot of it's young viewers, whether it's late teens, college, early 20s. Those people are watching highlights on YouTube more than they're actually watching games, and Adam Silver has certainly admitted that. So yeah, it's pretty cool to see how many times a football show will pop up in the unscripted categories, right? Because we agree on nothing in this country except for the NFL and dogs. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Good to have you with us. Speaking of football, a couple of quarterbacks that we were able to listen to and hear from over the weekend, so we'll get to that. Like Josh Allen on NFL Network, and also CJ Stroud, who went on a podcast and ranked his top five QBs and included neither Josh Allen nor Joe Burrow. It's kind of funny, actually. And the reaction from the host of the podcast, that was probably my favorite part. So we don't have the video here, but you could go and watch it. It's hysterical the way that they're looking at him. What are you talking about? What? Wait, how can you leave this guy out? How can you leave this guy out? Anyway, so that was kind of fun. We'll do that a little bit later
on. I guess I put the wrong one on.
Oops, CJ Stroud. Of course, the Houston Texans and their now second-year quarterback are all the rage in the league. They will not catch anybody by surprise in 2024 after winning the AFC South in the first year with CJ, but also with D'Amico Ryans, who right now is one of the hottest young coaches, even with the mass influx of coaches every single season. D'Amico Ryans was a home run hire for the Houston Texans. So that's pretty cool. But I wanted to follow up on a story that we talked about last week. And I actually had a few of you that reached out to me about it on social media. So I wanted to make sure that I passed this along. We had told you about how Brandon McManus, the longtime NFL kicker, was accused of sexually assaulting a couple of different flight attendants on a team plane to London. And that was when he was with the Jaguars. He got released by the Jags at the end of last season and was picked up by the Commanders. But after these lawsuits that were filed against McManus and against the Jaguars alleging this sexual assault, the Commanders have cut him. So he's no longer on a team. And keep in mind, this comes before any of this is proven, before the lawsuit goes to court or is settled, whichever comes first. The Commanders decided it's not worth it to them to see how this plays out. We can find another kicker, in essence. It's not worth it to us after everything they've gone through, right? So think about what the Commanders have gone through over the last, we'll say, four or five years, just the allegations that have come out about a toxic workplace under the Snyder family, under Daniel Snyder, the allegations of sexual assault, and some of the really creepy slash criminal behavior that women who worked in the franchise and, well, in the facilities and worked for the franchise alleged. And you can go back and you can look it up if you want to. But things like photos, illicit photos of some of the cheerleaders and the way that female employees were spoken to and were treated, and that there was plenty of sexual harassment and even sexual assault that took place and was under the umbrella of the Commanders, right? So that was part of the toxic workspace that ultimately not only led to Daniel Snyder being pretty close to being forced to sell the team, he really didn't have any other options, but also the whole investigation that the NFL did, gosh, that then somehow leaked those emails from John Gruden that resulted in him leaving the Raiders, but also just the way that they had to completely overhaul their management and their culture. So keeping that in mind, the Commanders want nothing to do with a sexual assault lawsuit against a player that they just signed recently. And that they don't need all that much, right? He hasn't taken a snap. He's not been out there on the field with the Commanders at all. And so after hearing this, I can understand why they would have an adverse reaction. They signed him to a $3.6 million deal. They didn't re-sign Joey Sly, so they thought they were moving on to a better kicker. But the Commanders, you know, they were, as soon as they found out about the lawsuit, they were in touch with the NFL as well as Brandon's agent. And other than really a statement about how we take allegations of this nature very seriously, they decided that this was not what they wanted to be associated with as they're trying to change the narrative around their workplace and their culture. And so, yeah, there were lots of different allegations of sexual harassment, and the NFL fined the organization $10 million. Remember all of this? Then there was a separate individual organization. And so, yeah, the Commanders are trying to clean house, and to have a kicker on their roster that is now under the shadow of a sexual assault investigation while he was a Jaguars team employee, mind you, while he was on the Jaguars team plane, that's just not something that they want to be involved in. So they ended up cutting him. I don't know how quickly he'll get another job. Just as a side note, though, and I don't know why anyone would do it, but there are a couple of high-profile cases recently where women have either completely made up or embellished their accusations against NFL, well, against athletes. One of them, Matt Araiza, remember he was the Bills punter, and he was accused of rape at a party that went back to when he was in college, and immediately the Bills cut him. His reputation, as you can imagine, was tarnished. Nobody else in the NFL would give him an opportunity. And then it's proven he wasn't even at the party when the alleged gang rape took place. And the young woman, and I don't know how old she is now, but the young woman made up a good portion of what she was alleging, but that Matt was nowhere near her or that party when it happened. And so that's a tough one. I can't imagine just making up something like that. But that was a tough one for Matt, of course. His career irreversibly impacted and tarnished and obviously interrupted. And now he's with the Chiefs, if I remember correctly. So he is on a roster now. Another one, and this one's kind of tough. But Trevor Bauer, who was accused by multiple women of choking them during sexual intercourse, whereas the sex itself was consensual, but him taking it too far and assaulting them while they were unconscious, there were a couple of different women that came forward. Now, again, as it's turned out, not only was he not ever criminally charged, but it's been proven that the female, at least one of the women, the one that first came forward, that she embellished incredibly, and that what she accused of him of doing, the choking during, you know, their sex, that didn't happen. And so whether or not Trevor Lawrence the first time? Oh my gosh. Okay. I hope not. Trevor Bauer. Please forgive me, Trevor Lawrence. Whether or not Trevor Bauer ever really, I mean, he's pitched in other countries, but whether he's ever back in Major League Baseball, and we know the Dodgers wanted nothing to do with him after that happened, and that was the players who started that, to the point where the Dodgers, who'd signed him to this massive deal, were, well, they got out of some of it while he was under investigation, but they were more than happy to eat whatever they had to never have him on the roster again. And so he hasn't pitched in the majors since the very beginning of the 21 season. And again, in both these cases, the accusers lied and embellished, and whatever their motivations were, seriously impacted and tarnished the reputations and the careers of these two athletes. So it's hard to hear something like this from me still and think, oh, she must be lying, because that's not my first reaction. But now I'm a little more careful, very, very careful to always use allegedly. And this is, you know, her version of the story, and let's wait until we hear more, because not only is sexual assault very difficult to prove, but also there are a couple of high-profile cases that need to be recalled and need to be mentioned when something like this happens. It's not the majority, of course, but these were two cases in which the athletes really can never recover. There's no going back for them. They can't make up those years in the prime of their careers and that earning power. And how do you ever take down all of the internet stories about the accusations and that type of thing? So, yeah, it sucks. I mean, I can't even imagine being in their shoes. But also just recognizing that whether it's more prominent or whether we're just more apt to consider it, that these types of accusations are sometimes false. And it makes me so upset that anyone would say those types of things about another human being, especially if we're just talking about stupid money. Maybe it's revenge, maybe there's some other motivation, but man, those are some hefty allegations to level and to put out there if you're just freaking making it up. And it's so hard for me to wrap my brain around. All right, I know it went a little long there. Love to hear from you, on Twitter at A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Coming up, I'm kind of wondering how many Canadian hockey fans will be cheering for the Oilers now that we finally have a Canadian team back in the Stanley Cup final. What is it, the first time since 11 other than the COVID year? But first final for Edmonton since 2006. And there's been no Canadian Stanley Cup champion since Montreal in 1993. So this is huge. But how does the bulk of Canada feel? It's kind of fun to hear some of the reaction from the Oilers players. On Twix, at A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Jay tells me Rush is the artist and that they are very Canadian. As opposed to being sort of Canadian. They're very Canadian.
Very Canadian.
Very Canadian. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Jack Michaels is actually not Canadian, but he is the voice of the Edmonton Oilers and certainly adopted the team, and they've adopted him. Longtime voice there with the Oilers. And my thanks also to the Stars Radio Network and then Panthers, too, mixing in some of the play-by-play in the wake of a weekend in which we get no game sevens in the NHL, at least in the conference finals, both of the series ending in six games. Now, the question is out there, and I'm wanting to hear from those of you who are hockey fans in the great nation of Canada, our friends to the north. I don't know how many of the other fan bases are cheering for the Oilers to end the Canadian drought, but I do know that every year at this time, especially going back now prior to the Oilers breaking through, every year in June, fans lamenting the fact that it's a drought that continues. There will be no Canadian winner of the Stanley Cup. Last time it was Montreal in 1993. Okay, so you're talking about decades here. Haven't had Edmonton in the Stanley Cup Finals since 2006. And I don't know how many of the other fan bases will be rooting for the Oilers, but according to Zach Hyman, as he was going through some of his post-game press responsibilities, he was informed that Ottawa, at least, would be cheering for the Oilers.
Well, I don't know if Toronto's cheering for us, but, but it's nice to hear Ottawa is. Listen, I mean, hockey means so much to Canada and to Canadians, and it's been a long time since a Canadian team has won the Cup. So, I mean, it would mean a lot to Canadians, whether they're Oilers fans or not, I'm sure. Some pride over the Americans, but, I mean, that's pretty cool to hear.
There's going to be pressure playing in the Stanley Cup Final, no matter where your team's from, so... obviously, we're a Canadian team. We got great Canadian fans, and it feels good to maybe unite the country a little bit and have something to bring people together. You know, that's what sports is all about, is bringing people together. And you know, hopefully we're doing that for Canadians across the country.
It's been a while for the Edmonton Oilers in the final. So Connor McDavid will be in his first Stanley Cup final. He and Leon Draisaitl, they are so much fun to watch. If you haven't seen it to this point, make sure you check it out. Zach Hyman, who we heard from first, is having an incredible playoff run. 14 goals now, including a power play goal in the clincher against Dallas. But just looking back at the Edmonton history, it's been a while, obviously, because... they had to go through this rebuild. They get Connor McDavid in 2015, and they've been kind of sitting on what is a power keg and needing to maximize their opportunity. But yeah, you go back to the days of Wayne Gretzky, who's on the NHL desk, and I find that really fascinating. He was traded, and I remember this as a kid, he was traded from the Oilers to the LA Kings. It was a move that rocked the sport. Man, it rocked sports. Forget just hockey. Because he got married to an actress and they wanted to live in LA for her career. And so he requested a trade, and the Oilers gave him the move that he wanted from Edmonton to LA. And that really put the Kings on the map in a different way. But yeah, he left there in 1988. And I'm not going to say that Edmonton hasn't been the same since, because they've had some good teams. But Connor McDavid puts them front and center in a way that Wayne Gretzky did, right? He's been compared to Wayne in a bunch of different ways, and he puts them in that conversation. But this will be his first Cup final. I mean, you can't be the great one in the eyes of many sports fans without having won a Stanley Cup. So this is his first opportunity. Ivan is in Ontario. Ivan, are you rooting for Edmonton?
Good morning. Morning. Thank you for having me. To be honest with you, I'm not an in no way an Oilers fan, but just to see the Cup come back to Canada, and yeah, why not? You know, I'm a big Leafs fan, but, you know, I'll take it one way or the other at this point. but I got one name to say, and I mean, you could disagree or agree with me on this, but, and I'm not saying he's the one that made it all happen, but Corey Perry, I don't know what it is, but wherever this guy lands, always lands in the finals somehow. am I like seeing this wrong? Because when the playoffs started, I even said to everybody, because I didn't really feel that the Leafs really were strong enough to keep going through. But when I looked at Edmonton and I saw Corey Perry, and I'm like, no way. No way is this going to happen again. And sure enough, look where he is.
First player to ever make it on five different teams. So make it to the Stanley Cup final on five different teams. And he's only got the one cup right now, but has a chance to win a second one with Edmonton.
I can't believe it. Like, wherever this guy goes, maybe the Leafs need him. If you're listening out there, Toronto, we need Corey Perry. I don't care in what stage or what level of playing, we need him. This guy is a finalist magnet.
I like that. That's a good point, a good reference. So if nothing else, Corey Perry seems to be he seems to be the common denominator. But I'm glad to hear you say that even though this isn't your team, your Maple Leafs, that you'll probably root for them just so that the cup can return to Canada.
Exactly. I'll take it in any way, shape, or form at this point. I mean, they're a great team. I mean, they got, you know, the one player that I kind of miss a lot, and I wish Toronto never gave up, it was Hyman. He was somebody that just played every single night to his full potential. And I always said he was one of the players I really missed when he left Toronto. He was just that. He was just that player that gave it all. You know, and I mean, look at him, 50-plus goal scorer. This guy is just incredible. And you know what? Not for anything. I hope he takes it with them. And him and McDavid, they deserve it.
I like that. I like that you're putting aside the lines and the loyalties that divide you, and you're rooting for a team in the country, not just a great story, but for Canada to repossess that cup.
We need it back. I mean, it's been a long time coming because it's nothing but a curse, I guess you could call it. I don't know, or the Bettman curse, but it is what it is. We'll move forward. We'll let them take it for now, and then we'll regain it back hopefully down the road.
All right. Well, by the way, Corey Perry is an Ontario native. I don't know if that says anything.
I know. That's the craziest thing. I don't know what it is with this guy. Wherever this guy goes, put your money on him.
That's funny. All right, Ivan, good to talk to you. Thanks so much for listening.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to hear what Corey Perry has to say. Any chance he spoke after? I don't know if he did or not. I mean, he's not obviously a five-time winner. He's got one cup. But just to have that kind of experience, to have gone with so many different teams, is pretty impressive. So good for him. It's a little bit like, who was the basketball player that kept going to all the different? Robert Horry, he went to with different guys, but shoot, was it? I'm going to have to look it up. I don't want to say the wrong name and have people laugh at me, which I guess is pretty standard. But there certainly are a couple of NBA players out there that seem to land on a bunch of different teams that have gone to NBA finals. So yeah, it's good work if you can get it. Just keep moving around and providing a veteran presence on a team that needs one. And yeah, they've already got a team. This isn't what LeBron is trying to do right now. When he goes to a team and makes it better. But try to hook up with a team that can win a championship before the time runs out, another championship before his time runs out. So we'll see if he jumps from the Lakers to another franchise to try to do that. But again, he's a difference maker in a way that Corey Perry, I'm not sure you would say that about him. But obviously the experience can be so valuable.
Maybe he's onto something with Perry joining the Leafs.
Maybe. Maybe he can make that his last stop. He's got, I mean, what is he, in his late 30s?
39.
Yeah. So he's definitely getting toward the end. I suppose that there'd be a big celebration. Maybe he would leave. Maybe he would retire. Leave. Maybe he would leave.
He would leave.
If this was, if this was a Stanley Cup victory for the Oilers. All right, on Twix, at Amy After Hours. That's our show account. Also on our Facebook page, I've got those stats up there from Sunday night and Monday Night Football. It's pretty incredible the way that they were the top two most watched shows on the 23-24 broadcast season. I mean, that's the power of football. And the numbers are pretty incredible, too, and they continue to grow. Hey, by the way, coming up in our final hour, we'll check in with our friend John Kincaid, who is on 97.5 The Fanatic, a morning host, used to work in Atlanta. He and I were colleagues for years. He's now a cancer survivor, a cancer killer for the third time in his life. So he's 6 months cancer-free again, which is amazing. And he's going to join us to talk about the Phillies. But did you know they are no longer the best team in Major League Baseball? That honor belongs to a different team that's on a tear, and you'll hear it coming up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Were you talking about James Jones, by the way, in NBA, maybe?
Oh, maybe. Yeah, he just keeps landing on all these teams that go to the NBA Finals.
He was on like seven straight from 11 to 17.
So that's kind of fun. Thank you for looking up the reference.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Let's see if the Yankees can come up with a big hit here. 1-0. Swing and a fly ball. Deep right field. Yastrzemski turns and watches. It is gone. A go-ahead two-run blast by Juan Soto. He gives the Yankees the lead in the top of the ninth, going over the 24-foot high wall in right, and it's a 6-5 Yankee lead.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Juan Soto, he keeps hitting the ball like he's doing right now for the New York Yankees, and it won't be the Yankees who are only the Yankees who are willing to throw gobs of money at him when he becomes a free agent. And you know, right now, he's indicated that he's going to play the field. He's willing to listen to the Yankees, but he's not locking himself into or backing himself into anything beyond, hey, I'm just going to play my heart out and play my way through the season and see what happens. Well, with the Yankees on a tear right now, they've won 5 in a row, 8 of their last 10. Not only are they staying out in front in the American League East ahead of the Baltimore Orioles by 3 games, but they've also taken over with the best record in Major League Baseball.
Right in front of us.
One more win than the Philadelphia Phillies, who've had that honor for a good portion of the season. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And yes, for the Yankees, it's fun when it's more dramatic. And they had a pair of home runs from Juan Soto, but 4 total runs in the ninth inning to rally past the Giants. And this was on the road, so they end up sweeping the Giants. And yeah, when you've got some big-time sluggers like Judge and Soto, of course you never say die.
Everybody in that dugout was thinking, we're going to do something. We're going to do damage. I mean, we all know how capable we are to make damage, so we always stay positive. I think that comes from everybody. Everybody is like right there, always thinking positive, always thinking that we can do it.
That's some savage at-bats right there, you know.
Savages.
Just, wow.
Home runs. What is it, 16 and 17 for Juan Soto now? Meanwhile, Aaron Judge, he's a guy that has also played really well in stretches too. Healthy, I think, is the most important thing for Aaron Judge. He had a couple of stolen bases against the San Francisco Giants, which was his hometown team, or when he was growing up, the Giants were his favorite team as a kid. Also, we saw old friend Blake Snell pitching for the Giants in this one. He does have 7 strikeouts in his 4 2/3, but also gives up 3 runs on a handful of hits and 3 walks. So once again, it's a mixed bag with Blake Snell. And I know it's still relatively early season. His ERA, 9.5. Well, that's tremendous. He wondered why no one would give him a big deal during the offseason. 9.5?
wonder if spring training might have helped.
Yeah, that too. Good point. This might still be his spring training. And the Giants are still below, or they are below 500, got swept by the Yankees. The call's there with Justin Shackle on the Yankees radio network. We'll get back to some more baseball. Again, the Phillies have been pacing the league for most of the season, and our friend John Kincaid will join us in the final hour. But Amanda is waiting in Ontario. Amanda, how are local hockey fans feeling about the Oilers?
Well, I'm not sure about the Oilers. I know I am absolutely ecstatic that they won. I was born out west and nice. Moved to Ontario in grade 8.
Okay.
And everybody wanted us, me and my brother, to be Leafs fans when we moved here. And we've been here over 25 years now, and we are still tried and true Oilers fans. So it's absolutely wonderful
awesome.
To be able to have them go to the Cup, because it's been quite a few years. I was a young child when they won before. So
in 06.
It's absolutely
ecstatic. Oh, that was their last final, actually. They won last in 90. So it's been forever.
It has been. So it's absolutely wonderful. But it's so hard to be a fan sometimes when the time difference is, like, the game ended at, like, 20 to 11, and my alarm goes off at 2:30 a.m.
So, oh, no. Is that when you get up for work?
And it's 2:30 a.m., so it's perfect to listen to you, but I end up being a little bit tired in the morning.
I can imagine.
Definitely in this far in the season, it's definitely worth it.
Awesome. So, well, congratulations. Yeah, so. I'm glad you stood your ground, Amanda, and I hope that you enjoy this Stanley Cup final. Good to hear from an Oilers fan and her brother in Ontario. So we'll have to see whether or not the fans in that province are likely to root for the Oilers, because this could potentially get the Cup back to Canada for the first time since 93. It's After Hours.
Wait, from 11 to 17.
So that's kind of fun. Thank you for looking up the reference.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Let's see if the Yankees can come up with a big hit here. 1-0. Swing and a fly ball. Deep right field. Yastrzemski turns and watches. It is gone. A go-ahead two-run blast by Juan Soto. He gives the Yankees the lead in the top of the ninth, going over the 24-foot high wall in right, and it's a 6-5 Yankee lead.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Juan Soto, he keeps hitting the ball like he's doing right now for the New York Yankees, and it won't be the Yankees who are only the Yankees who are willing to throw gobs of money at him when he becomes a free agent. And you know, right now, he's indicated that he's going to play the field. He's willing to listen to the Yankees, but he's not locking himself into or backing himself into anything beyond, hey, I'm just going to play my heart out and play my way through the season and see what happens. Well, with the Yankees on a tear right now, they've won 5 in a row, 8 of their last 10. Not only are they staying out in front in the American League East ahead of the Baltimore Orioles by 3 games, but they've also taken over with the best record in Major League Baseball.
Right in front of us.
One more win than the Philadelphia Phillies, who've had that honor for a good portion of the season. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And yes, for the Yankees, it's fun when it's more dramatic. And they had a pair of home runs from Juan Soto, but 4 total runs in the ninth inning to rally past the Giants. And this was on the road, so they end up sweeping the Giants. And yeah, when you've got some big-time sluggers like Judge and Soto, of course you never say die.
Everybody in that dugout was thinking, we're going to do something. We're going to do damage. I mean, we all know how capable we are to make damage, so we always stay positive. I think that comes from everybody. Everybody is, like, right there, always thinking positive, always thinking that we can do it.
That's some savage at-bats right there, you know.
Savages.
Just, wow.
Home runs. was at 16-17 for Juan Soto now. Meanwhile, Aaron Judge, he's a guy that has also played really well in stretches too. Healthy, I think, is the most important thing for Aaron Judge. He had a couple of stolen bases against the San Francisco Giants, which was his hometown team, or when he was growing up, the Giants were his favorite team as a kid. Also, we saw old friend Blake Snell pitching for the Giants in this one. He does have 7 strikeouts in his 4 2/3, but also gives up 3 runs on a handful of hits and 3 walks. So once again, it's a mixed bag with Blake Snell. And I know it's still relatively early season. His ERA, 9.5. Well, that's tremendous. He wondered why no one would give him a big deal during the offseason. 9.5.
I wonder if spring training might have helped.
Yeah, that too. Good point. This might still be his spring training. And the Giants are still below, or they are below 500, got swept by the Yankees. The call's there with Justin Shackle on the Yankees radio network. We'll get back to some more baseball. Again, the Phillies have been pacing the league for most of the season, and our friend John Kincaid will join us in the final hour. But Amanda is waiting in Ontario. Amanda, how are local hockey fans feeling about the Oilers?
Well, I'm not sure about the Oilers. I know I am absolutely ecstatic that they won. I was born out west and nice. Moved to Ontario in grade 8.
Okay.
And everybody wanted us, me and my brother, to be Leafs fans when we moved here. And we've been here over 25 years now, and we are still tried and true Oilers fans. So it's absolutely wonderful to be able to have them go to the Cup, because it's been quite a few years. I was a young child when they won before. So
in
06. It's absolutely
ecstatic. Oh, that was their last final, actually. They won last in 90. So it's been forever.
It has been. So it's absolutely wonderful. But it's so hard to be a fan sometimes when the time difference is, like, the game ended at like 20-11 and my alarm goes off at 2:30 a.m.
So, oh, no. Is that when you get up for work?
And it's 2:30 a.m. So it's perfect to listen to you, but I end up being a little bit tired in the morning.
I can imagine.
But definitely in this far in the season, it's definitely worth it.
Awesome. So, well, congratulations. Yeah, so. I'm glad you stood your ground, Amanda, and I hope that you enjoy this Stanley Cup final. Good to hear from an Oilers fan and her brother in Ontario. So we'll have to see whether or not the fans in that province are likely to root for the Oilers, because this could potentially get the Cup back to Canada for the first time since 93. It's After Hours.